Mark 13, verse 32. Hear now the word of God. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time will come. For the Son of Man is like a man leaving on a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded a porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Today, by the grace of God, I hope to bring the last two sermons that I've preached on Christian meditation and Christian fasting together to tie them up with today's sermon on Christian watchfulness. See, the scripture is filled with the command to watch. Our Lord Jesus Christ issued forth this command at times when something great and perilous was at hand. Yet how many of us tend to repass this word, this command, and just focus on that other aspect that's usually tied to watching, which is prayer. To which we just focus on prayer and think that watching and praying are usually one and the same. But yet, here in this text, we see the chapter ends with the word watch. Why does Christ tell us to watch? See, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to what this duty is, and then give us the hands to perform it on a daily and minute-by-minute basis. See, I will say that of the two previous duties that I preached on, meditation and fasting, I believe that watching is the most difficult. And I will explain what it means to be watching in 3 points. First, what is watchfulness? Second, why should we be on watch? And thirdly, a help to watching and a promise. So what is watchfulness? Well, the Dutch reformer Wilhelmus Abraco defined watchfulness as consisting in, quote, in watching over our soul in a careful and circumspect manner in order that no evil may befall her, end quote. The Greek in this text and in other texts in the New Testament when it comes to what it means to watch means to be vigilant, to be aware of threatening peril, to be alert, to look after and to care for. To be alert, to look after, to care for, to be aware of peril and danger. In our text before us, Christ tells his disciples to watch and to couple that watching with prayer. Here it is in relation to his second coming, his great promise to his church, his bride. For the groom will come to his bride, and so we are to watch for that coming. When Christ took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, he commanded them to watch 3 times in relation to their spiritual well-being. Matthew 26, he tells them that. To watch is to be alert. To be alert and watchful for the return of Christ. And also to be alert and watchful over one's spiritual state to that end and purpose, being the return of Christ. And it is one of our weapons in our spiritual warfare to be watchful. It is a weapon that we should be employing daily to be watchful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 states, pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, Be alert or watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, Paul tells us to be alert with perseverance. And there's a reason why he adds that word, perseverance, to our watchfulness. Because to be on guard is not easy. To be posted on guard duty is not an easy thing. So the opposite of being watchful and alert is to be asleep and unready. And we see these themes throughout the Old and New Testament coupled together. In our text, he says, what? Lest he catch you asleep and unawares. Christ, how many times did he catch his disciples asleep? When they're supposed to be on watch. Especially on the night he was to be betrayed. In the parable of the 10 virgins, we have all 10 of them falling asleep. However, 5 of the 10 were prepared and ended up going to the marriage. The other 5 were cast out and not even recognized. Christian, are you on watch? Are you on the alert? Or have you fallen asleep? Are you ready for when Christ comes? Or are you unprepared? It will be a doom and a terrible day when you are caught unawares, asleep, and unprepared. You will know nothing but misery. So on Christ's authority, I hear and I tell you, awake, watch, and pray. Keep your oil lamps trimmed and a ready supply of jar of oil handy. Do not be caught asleep. So why should we be on watch? Our second point. Why should we be on watch? There are 2 reasons why you should always be on watch. First, for your own spiritual well-being. Secondly, for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to the first one, for your spiritual well-being. You must be careful over the care of your spiritual state. As we have just sung and we have just read, we have to be watchful of our own selves, of our words. We have to be watchful of our entire being, our body, and our soul. It's to be cared so that our spiritual state is ever vigilant and prepared. You see, evil is set all about us and in us, ready to strike us down. So you need to watch what comes out from your thoughts, your heart, your mouth, and the works of your hands. We must strive that our entire conduct and manner of living be according to the will of God, lest we fall. Also be aware of what enters your soul via the influences of the world. What do you watch? What do you listen to? And what do you read that may cause you to stumble and sin against a holy God? 2 Timothy 4:5 tells us to be watchful in all things, small and great, we are to be watchful. Proverbs 4:23 states, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. You see, some of you, and I know many are away at camp, but some of you are students or just graduated. Those who graduate with honors, how did you do it? With diligence, right? With diligent study. Keep your hearts with diligence. Our text tells us, for the Son of Man is like a man leaving on a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. In his house, he has given to us today pastors, teachers, ruling elders, and deacons, which have his authority. He has also given to every one of us who are called by his name to do his own work. You have a job to do, Christian. Congregation, you have a work to do. Are you doing it? Are you doing this work in his house? Are you performing it? Or are you sitting around the job, letting the clock tick, 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 tick away expecting no consequence for your lack of duty. As we say in the job market, are you milking the clock? You will be caught unawares. We have terrible and horrendous foes that seek to devour and destroy us. Are you on guard? The world, the flesh, our sinful selves, and the devil are constantly assailing us, constantly on the attack, subtly and very blatantly. So do you read the Word of God? Daily? Every single day? Do you then study it? See, this is the weapon Christ has given to us in this combat. Christ, when he was tempted, what did he use to fight off the temptation? It was the Word. When he was assailed by the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what did he use to fight them off? The Word. So then, how skillful are you with it? How skillful are you with the Word of God? Do you meditate on His law day and night? Do you read it and then make it come into your heart by meditation? If not, how do you keep your ammunition full and ready for the fight? Because that's what meditation is. You can just spit out the Word of God at a moment's notice. So you put to death the deeds of the flesh? Have you sought to humble your body to entreat of the Lord a more especial manner through fasting? You see, brothers, these are means that Christ has given to His people that we are to be used, that we should be using for our own good. As hard as they are to wield at first, we must. We must wrestle with ourselves and employ these duties as good and faithful servants that dwell in His house until the Master returns. So are you wrestling? Are you wrestling? Wrestling is not easy. Boxing is not easy. It is a workout. When you go into your prayer closet, you come out sweating. Let us not forget the most powerful armament we have. Again, prayer. Do you come out of prayer sweating? That you wrestled with God, you wrestled with yourself. You wrestled with those thoughts that try to rob you of that prayer time. See, we are commanded to watch and pray. Christian, again, I pose the question, do you do this? The Lord's Prayer teaches us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do you do to fight off temptation? Proverbs 4:26 states, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Psalm 39 verse 1 states, I said, I will take heed of my ways that I do not sin with my tongue. Are you careful what comes out of your mouth? I will keep my mouth muzzled while the wicked are before me. What is your testimony before the ungodly? Can they even tell the difference? Christ warned his disciples in Matthew 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Everyone is subject to temptation. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was. What do you do when the temptation is coming? If you are being watchful, you see it coming and are not ambushed. How do you treat then each temptation that comes your way? To this last question I pose to you, what John Owen remarks, quote, sin will not long seem great or heavy unto any to whom temptations seem light and small, end quote. In other words, you proudly say, I can handle this temptation. It's nothing. I can handle it. Bring it on. Then you will find that when you fall into sin, you will have a false comfort. You will have a false comfort in your sin. You'll be lulled asleep in your sin. And you'll become comfortable in it. And next thing you know, you'll be distant from Christ. You'll be distant from His holiness. And the end will be a bitter discipline that the Lord will inflict upon you with His rod. Because the Lord does find that one sheep that's strayed off. And He does bring him back, not only with His staff, but with His rod. For the Lord disciplines those whom He loves. David found this out. Jonah found this out. And Peter found this out. So be on guard. At night. Even at night, be on guard. What enters your dreams? Be on guard. I've been posted before on guard duty at night. And you never know what's going to happen. It's boring sometimes. But you don't know when the enemy will come. And being on guard at night wearies the body and the mind. How about being on guard duty in the battlefield? Knowing that the enemy can attack at any moment. That wearies you. That will weary you. You will start to see shadows when there's nothing there. See, we are in a spiritual warfare, brethren. Why do you think that the Old and New Testament always alludes to military metaphors? Or to wrestling or to boxing? Combat. Because we are in combat, brethren. We are in a spiritual warfare. And we have this burden of being in combat. But yet Christ is our strength. Christ gives us the graces through His Spirit to perform our duties. Do you look to Christ to perform your duties? However, if we again wax proudly and take it as a light manner, we'll fall into sin. You see, temptations are not always blatant and in your face. They're very deceitful, very subtle, even plausible to us. The enemy within us, our flesh, has certain cravings, and many temptations therefore come across much more enticing for me than for you, or for you than for me, more desirous to our eyes. Brethren, in your meditations upon the law of God, you will have the counterstrike. If you're meditating on His law, you'll be able to counterstrike that temptation. How quickly are you attracted to another person? One that you should not be. To meditate upon the seventh commandment and every aspect of it. Utilize the catechisms and the wisdom found in them to help you resist that temptation. For, as we learned, the Pharisees thought that adultery was just physical adultery. But Christ had to correct that, right? Once you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So, take heed, because that lusting in the heart can develop into a physical handwork where you fall into sin physically. So then, if you see you struggle with this sin, for example, or any of the other sins against one of the commandments of God, and you struggle and you pray, and you're still struggling, then I encourage you, fast. Humble your body, deny yourself, and fast. Subjugate your body to the will of God. Watch over your soul, brethren. Be aware of what you are so easily enticed by. Then employ meditation to counter it. And if necessary, bring out the big gun of fasting. In all these spiritual exercises, employ the grace of prayer without ceasing or pause. Pray without ceasing. This is your duty with every conflict you have against temptations when they come your way. Now our text tells us that each one has been given a job. You have a job, I have a job. We all have a job to do in this kingdom. So what happens when we fail at our jobs? Temptations tend to ambush us very hard. An ambush is a surprise attack that you suffer when you are not vigilant, alert, or on guard. And an ambush is meant to annihilate you. That's the purpose, to annihilate you. If you're not performing your duties, be warned. Be warned that your fall into sin may be lurking near you. God warned Cain, sin is at your door. But Cain despised this warning, and we know what befell him. Brethren, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Second Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Hear the word of God. In the spring of the year, the time when the kings go out to battle, David sent out Joab and his officers and all of Israel with him. They brought to ruin the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. David, at this time, was king of Israel. They were at war with the inhabitants of the land, as God had commanded them to do. So David's job was to wage war. He was to wage war. Notice this verse, first verse. When the kings go out to battle, where was David? Did David go out to battle? Did David go perform his duty as a king? Verse 1 tells us, David remained at Jerusalem. Where was David supposed to be? Where was David supposed to be? At the battlefield, as he had done many times before. David neglected his duty. Now look at verse 2. One evening, when David arose from his bed and was walking on the roof of the king's house, from the roof he saw a woman bathing. Stop right there. He sees a woman bathing. Temptation. Right? Temptation's right at his door. We know from David's history he has a weakness for women. Most men do. He sees her bathing. He didn't get up from his bed knowing that that was what he would see. It just happened. He was ambushed. So what did he do? Did he do what Psalm 101 verse 3 states? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Not that she was a wicked thing, but what followed is he did not look away when he should have, because his eyes lingered enough for him to come to the conclusion that she was very beautiful to look on. He lusted in his heart and violated the seventh commandment. Did he stop at the staring? No. What did he want to do? He wanted to know who she was. Who was she? When he found out that she was married, did it matter to him? Did it matter that she was married to one of his valiant men that was actually performing his duty to the king out in the battlefield? Did it matter that this valiant man was a convert to Jehovah, being a Hittite? He was a convert. Didn't it matter? Didn't it matter to David? In fact, David even waited until her time of the month had passed before he called her to come to him. He let that temptation fester and spread in his heart. His desire for her became unquenchable. Then he fell into a horrible sin that resulted in defilement of Bathsheba and the murder of his faithful servant. Led to murder of a faithful servant, betrayal, and murder. He betrayed his friend. Before he betrayed his friend, he tried to get him drunk. Another sin, right? Drunkenness is sin. Got him drunk, betrayed him with his wife, then betrayed him to be murdered. And then the son that was conceived by his adultery was to die as discipline for his sins. You see, he failed to perform his duty. He failed to be out in the field of battle as king. What is your duty, brethren? ruling elders, deacons, members of the church, what is your duty that you've been called to, and are you performing it? Or are you being idle? Then take heed of your soul. Be on watch. Never take any temptation lightly, for when you do, great misery lies at your door and will befall you, and not just you. Many around you will fall as well. We've seen this recently with celebrity people in the church. They have fallen. And how many fall with him? Because their trust was in man, not in Christ. Utilize the shield of faith, trusting that God will see you through the battle as you struggle to vanquish the temptations from your sight. You see, God has promised you to deliver you from evils, from temptations. Pray then for what God has promised you. We see Abraham prayed this way. So did Moses many times. He prayed God's promises back to him. And by faith, they trusted that he will fulfill his promises. They would argue with God. God, didn't you promise? Didn't you promise this, that, and the other? Then why is this happening? They argue with God. Do you argue with God in your prayers? Hebrews 4:15-16 states, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in every sense tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Brethren, there's your promise. Come to his throne of grace. Christ knows. He knows. He's been tempted in every way. You think that the only time Satan tempted him was those three times on the mount when he was fasting? No. Many, many more times throughout his ministry, many of which are recorded in the Gospels. "Father, take this cup away from me." That was a temptation. He knew what was coming. So much more can be stated on how temptations assail us. But we don't have that much time. But Owen writes, quote, that the first thing in our watching is to consider well the seasons wherein temptation usually makes its approaches to the soul, and to be armed against them, end quote. So briefly, let me warn you of these very subtle and seemingly harmless moments that temptations may jump you. When you are in a spiritually or physically or materially prosperous moment in your life, beware. You may be full of joy for a spiritual accomplishment, a physical accomplishment, a material accomplishment. Young adults, maybe you just went through some academic achievement. They are your blessings. These are blessings. Beware that these blessings don't lull you to sleep. Don't let your guard down. Because a temptation may come that will rob you of these blessings. The spiritual high, don't let the enemy take you. Don't let your guard down. This can happen, right? With the spiritual high, can happen after a Christian conference or a Christian camp, after presbytery or synod meeting, right? Take heed. Pray for our children right now that are at camp. Pray for them after they return from camp, that the blessings that they are gaining right now, the teaching that they are being filled with at this moment from the Word of God, that after they return, that these things may not be taken from them. You see, I know that many of you pray for me or for when the pastor comes up to preach, and we thank you, we're grateful for that. But pray for the sermon after it's finished, that it may do its work. That on Wednesday, that we are still meditating upon these things and applying them to our life. So when you come away from these events, don't become cocky either or self-confident because of some events in your life that puff you up. Right? Look at Apostle Peter. He rightly answered Christ when Christ said, "Who do you say I am?" He was cocky. He became cocky. Peter was full of pride and self-confidence. And every time it was to his ruin. Don't become too formal in your spiritual duties either. Don't let them be a check mark item, check, check, check on some kind of checklist. Oh, I got up, I prayed, check. I read the Bible, check. I studied it, check. I did this, check, check, check. Okay, I'm good. Next, check, 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 check. You become formal. And next thing you know, you're imposing man-made doctrines, innovations, and practices upon yourself, upon your family, and upon others. Be careful. Be on watch. Be on watch. There are many other ways that the enemy will assail us. Very subtle ways. Maybe you did perform some great accomplishment and people are congratulating you. Be aware. Don't let, be joyful, but don't let that rob you from the blessing. You see, Christian, whether you like these analogies or not, you are a soldier in Christ's kingdom. Stay in your post. Keep watch. Stand guard always, constantly. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us and commands us why we should be on watch. He says, "Be sober and watchful." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Christian, you are to be on this duty 24/7 without ceasing. And so this is a very difficult duty that must be partnered with prayer and sustained by your meditations on God's word and from time to time strengthened by Christian fasting. Yet above all this, be constantly aware with the knowledge that is the Holy Spirit that strengthens you to perform these duties. It is the Spirit that strengthens us. So trust in Him to perform His promises through Christ. Now the second reason to be on constant watch is for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that should be joyful for every Christian. Now we know from the text of Scripture that we have read, that no man knows the day or the hour. Now there are many fools gone out into the world, and many have sprung up like weeds within the church, spewing forth nonsense about the exact date of Christ's return. They are fools. They are false prophets. They are false brethren. Turn a deaf ear to them and pay them no mind. Rather, mark them as deceivers and liars, for that is what they are, and I don't care who they are. They are deceivers. Christ told us, no man knows the day or the hour. The man that pretends to know is a deceiver and a liar. And many who have followed these men and women have fallen into great ruin. So beware, because it happens even within the Reformed camp. We are to be on watch over our spiritual state, for Christ will, in fact, return. He will return. And when he returns, how will he find you, Christian? How will he find you? Will you be at your guard post performing your duties? Or will he catch you asleep and in dereliction of duty? Will you be the wise or the foolish virgin? What will you be? Christian, where's your jar of oil? Is your lamp trimmed and ready? Do you have fire ready? When death takes you, and death will take us unless the Lord returns before that, will you be ready to stand in the presence of your Savior? To give account of your life in Christ? As a Christian, saved by grace alone, He has given you talents. So how many talents will you present before Him at His throne? One? Because you buried it? The gifts He has given to you, have you used them in His name and for His sake here on earth? Here on earth, in this life, in this bodily life, have you used His gifts that He's given to you to glorify Him, whether it is as a scientist or as a janitor? Have you used those gifts to His glory? Here's a great motivation to being watchful. Christ stated in Matthew 26, "Watch therefore. Blessed is that servant to whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Again, our text states, verse 35, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed if he finds you watching when he comes, or at the time of your death. You will be blessed. And Christ will come, brethren. This is a fact, and it is certain. It is more certain that Christ will come again than the rising of the sun tomorrow. So, when he comes, will you be on watch? Will you be watching for his coming? Will you be found a faithful servant in the master's house? Point three, a help to watching and a promise. Now, Christ always gives us helps towards the fulfilling of our duties, and he always gives us promises. His word is faithful and true, and his promises are always certain. His blessings are sweeter than honey and more refreshing than cool water on a hot day. And I'm sure we can all relate to that lately. We are in a spiritual warfare. Humility and humbling of ourselves is a great aid in this warfare. It is not being some macho special forces guy. It is being humble and humbling of yourself. Last week I spoke of Christian fasting. There is another type of fasting that is related to watchfulness and prayer, and that is deprivation of sleep for a portion of a night or for the entire night. The duration is entirely up to you and can be done at the start of night or towards the end of the night, or even in the middle of the night. The scripture calls us to this act, but doesn't have hard and fast rules like it does with fasting. Performing this duty with another Christian or a group of Christians is ideal if the desire is to be an all-nighter. And I know most of you have had all-nighters doing other things. You college students, I'm sure, do it more frequently than us older guys. You know what is an all-nighter. Some of you have pulled off study sessions all night. How about praying all night? Staying up all night to pray. In this spiritual exercise, you do engage in singing psalms, reading the scripture, but mainly prayer. And brethren, there is a lot to pray for. A lot to pray for. And if you are at a loss what to pray for, ask your brother or your sister next to you. How should I pray for you? There are plenty of scriptural examples for this night watching and praying. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Praying before the day dawns, we have Christ's example. In the morning, quote, in the morning, rising up a great while before sunrise, Christ went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 6:12. And these days he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. These are examples of Christ that we can imitate. We can imitate these examples. And we should. Psalm 119 verse 62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. Have you done this? Have you ever risen up at midnight to pray to the Lord, to praise Him, to be on watch over yourself? Psalm 119 verses 147 through 148. I arose before the dawn of the morning and cried for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the night watches, that I might meditate on your word. Prayer, watchfulness, meditation. These are duties you are all called to, brethren. The purpose of these night watches and prayers is again for the humbling of ourselves unto God and to petition the Lord for some great matter. Now, if you want to pull out an all-nighter, do with a Christian brother. It will be a great joy to you. Or maybe a group of you can get together and do this. It is a great time. It is, you'll be amazed at how much strength you get from one another when it's 2 a.m. and you're still up praying and singing, reciting the scriptures, engaging one another. You actually build a greater camaraderie between yourselves. It is a great blessing. Christ wanted his disciples to stay up all night to pray with him. But they fell asleep. They fell asleep. And after the third time when he went to them to get them, they were fast asleep. He let them alone. And what happened next? The soldiers came. And because they were not watching and praying with Christ as he had asked them to, Peter got all pumped up, prideful, took out the sword. He did things that he was not called to do at that moment. Because he did not watch and pray, he followed to see where they took Christ. And when he was ID'd by the other people, he denied him. And then denied him again. And then denied him again. And then the cock crew and made its song. And Christ looked at Peter. Peter looked at Christ. And he went away weeping. Brethren, we are to watch and pray. We are to stay awake and pray. Wrestle with God regarding your matter. Whatever matter it is that you are staying up to pray for. Or are engaging in prayer with God. Do not let go of God until your matter is dealt with. Wrestle with God. Wrestle with Him. This example of praying and watching at night then is good. It is godly. But yet let's not let it develop like in all things into a superstition. It is not to be employed on a regular basis. We all need to sleep. We need to keep our bodies fit that way. Because the body is the temple of the spirit. God has told you to take care of your body. But a right use of these benefits will reap much godliness in the Christian's life. Remember our text. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. All of this watching and praying then has the promise of Christ that He will bless you. For when He comes and you are standing, watching and praying, you'll be counted as among His faithful ones. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 to 11. Because you have kept my word of patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the entire world to test those who dwell on the earth. Look, I am coming quickly. Hold firmly what you have so that no one may take your crown. The word of patience is His gospel. Hold fast the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He will keep you from the hour of temptation which is to come. Hold firmly His truth, and you will be set before His presence forever in blessedness. Here's another promise of Christ. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Look, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments on, lest he walk naked and his shame be exposed. Christian, keep your jar filled with oil and keep your garments on, lest you end up as a foolish virgin and walk naked with your shame exposed. Watch and pray and you will be blessed of the Lord. It is not an easy duty, but it is a duty we are called to do at every moment. Watch for the coming of Christ. And there are many promises yet to be fulfilled before His coming, like the restoration of the Jews. Watch for that. What are you doing to see that to come about? For the restoration of the Jews to come about. What are you doing to see the fullness of the Gentiles to come about? Micah 7:7 states, I watch for the Lord. I await the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do you watch for the Lord? Do you await the God of your salvation? Congregation, if anyone here is here and does not profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ will most certainly come again. And every single eye will see Him, and there will be a great weeping and outcry by all who a moment before His coming, a second before His coming, were mocking and scorning Christ. Christ ain't coming. Who is Christ? There's many ways to God. Mocking Christ. He will come. A great pain like never known to man before will befall you as you realize that He has come. And you did not hope in Him nor in His return. And when you see Him coming and you are not in Christ, His coming for a Christian will be a blessedness. But for you who are without Christ, it will be your doom. Therefore, before that day comes, I say to you, realize that you are a dreadful sinner, one who despises the true God and rebels against His holy law, sinning against Him, thinking yourself to be wise and knowing all things. I know everything. That ain't going to happen to me. I know what I'm doing. Fool, you will be destroyed if you live that way and Christ returns. You sin against Him. Turn back away from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you shall be saved. And you will be given then the many graces by the Holy Spirit to then perform your duties to your Savior. Come to Christ today. Today is the Lord's day. Today is the holy day. Today is the Sabbath day. Come to this day of liberation. to this day of salvation, today, to this day of resurrection, for today is the resurrection day. Come to life, come to Christ, and come away from death, and you shall be living in Christ forever. So if you are not in Christ, come to Him. Proverbs 8:34-36 states, "Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and will obtain favor of the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." Let us pray. Let us stand to pray.